This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
John Fetterman says he wants to eliminate the filibuster if he's elected United States Senate. I told you that's the whole plan the Democrats have. Do that, pack the courts, and keep moving to get D.C. a state and just have a supermajority in the U.S. Senate. Good morning. Welcome back. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 is the number on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Remember, 1 year ago today, in Afghanistan, the disaster that was Afghanistan, 13 U.S. service members died in that attack in Kabul. And we will never forget. We will never forget the 13 American service members killed in a bomb attack in Kabul 1 year ago today. We will absolutely remember them. No question about it. And Politico has a piece today, Politico of all places, how everything that's happening with Mar-a-Lago is benefiting Trump and Biden, they write. That's right. Now, I disagree with their point on Biden, but nevertheless, actually, it was The Hill, excuse me, The Hill, TheHill.com, also not a conservative site. Trump and Biden could reap political rewards after FBI search. Mm-hmm, that's right. They write, political analysts on both sides of the aisle said in Sunday TV programs that former President Trump's supporters are more firmly in his corner after the FBI search at his Mar-a-Lago residence last week. Fans backed Trump before and after the FBI retrieved some super secret material that he removed from the White House in 2021. They accept his objections, accusations, and political assertions and embrace many of the candidates he's endorsed this year. The former president is unlikely to lose the backing of far-right conservatives based on a controversy over national security documents. Pundits suggested that he, in fact, is more firmly with his base. But he could alienate independent voters while also helping President Biden and fellow Democrats motivate a less enthusiastic progressive base. Boy, it's like they've listened to everything I've been saying and then wrote an article about it. How, they ask? By reviving the contrast Biden and his party played up in the 2020 election against Trump and the GOP. Democrats can shift the conversation from talking about inflation to the anti-Trump contrast that worked to motivate voters in the last presidential race. Biden, early this summer, tried to message the Democrats about ultra-MAGA Republicans, only to find that Trump and his supporters hail the denunciations. So basically, TheHill.com, a very, I'd say, center-left Washington publication, pointing out exactly what I'm saying, that this will energize the progressive base, gets them talking about Trump, and then they think they win. That's exactly what's happening right now. 855-839-1210. Even the New York Times, asking the question, which I've asked, and I asked last week. Ready? Ready for the question the New York Times is asking? Goes like this, quote, why did Trump keep documents, some classified, when the government for a year sought to retrieve them? Well, that raises the question, why didn't the government try to retrieve them sooner if they were so incredibly highly classified? 855-839-1210. Plus, justthenews.com reporting, Trump had a standing order to declassify documents taken to his residence. This is the kind of thing that'll be battled out in court. It's what I was saying. And Donald Trump's office said that they had a standing order while he was president that allowed him to take sensitive material to the White House residence at night to keep working. This is the kind of thing that is going to play out in court, which is why this is not about getting Trump behind bars. It's about getting Trump on the ballot. Let me say that again. This is not about getting Trump behind bars. This is about getting Trump on the ballot. Let me say it one more time. And Henry, there you go. You can title that if you like for a podcast. This is not about getting Trump behind bars. This is about getting Trump on the ballot. Now, everybody will be saying it later today. All right. Good morning, Dawn. What's going on? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. This is Monday, August 15th, and Zioli Show News Live, sponsored by Sunoco Go Rewards, the app. We'll have the full forecast, which includes rain moving through this morning. And I'll also tell you why your electricity rates may, yes, be going up again amid this economy. This morning, a suspect recovering in the hospital on the main line, facing charges, criminal charges, wanted in a shoplifting case at a CVS in the main line there. But the story that's making national news this morning is how ultimately that suspect, who led police on a foot pursuit, actually tried to get away by hiding in a drain pipe and then going 75 feet down into that drain pipe and got stuck. It's an incredible rescue, as police actually had to call in a Montgomery County Special Task Force operation. And three of those officers had to go down into this tight little drain pipe, go down through the drain pipe, pump oxygen into the drain pipe to make sure that everybody had enough rescue. They're calling it a high-tech rescue. Took several hours, but in the end, they came out with that suspect, who is this morning at Lankenau Medical Center, getting treatment, expected to make that full recovery. But many saying that suspect was very lucky that those officers were willing to go into that pipe to recover the suspect. Crazy story. And we have Philadelphia school district staff and students learning that, yes, when school starts, they will have to wear a mask for the first 2 weeks of school, the 22-23 school year. Masks will then be optional but strongly recommended. This is what we're learning, of course, after the CDC changed its guidance, lessened and loosened up the guidance last Thursday. So all those protocols a bit different. And this, of course, after the CHOP, Children's Hospital Policy Lab, earlier last week had suggested that the school districts across the country and across the region relax those types of restrictions, but still saying they do advise the vaccinations. We also have this week, starting today, Temple University, it's back to school as far as moving into the dorms. A lot of activity, and you might see a lot of people, you know, with their flashers on and the back of the SUV open. A lot of college kids moving in as Temple and some area colleges begin to bring the students back. By the way, in Philadelphia, school will start August 29th, so they'll have to wear those masks through September 9th. And yes, after increasing rates in June, Pennsylvanians across the state are about to get hit with yet another double-digit hike, we're told, as of course amid after that unprecedented heat wave and inflation pushed energy production costs higher for electricity. So this is according to the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission, the PUC. Increases are set to take effect September 1st. Ouch. So if you're a PECO customer, your price to compare charge is going up 11.4%. And that's mild. Other ones like MetEd going up 18.4%. Other parts of Pennsylvania, Penn Power up 19%. So across Pennsylvania, this one hurts for sure. With this is September 1st, right after a rough summer. And with this economy, a lot of people really complaining on that one. We have our Phils. Unfortunately, we lost 6-0. Ouch. And now that was against the Mets. Now we head to Cincinnati where we face the Reds. That starts tonight for a 3-day stretch. But what a holiday and Christmas treat for our both football and 76ers fans, because it was announced, actually Harden announced this in a tweet. Looks like we'll be playing at Madison Square Garden Christmas Day. So that's pretty exciting. And also Eagles play the Cowgirls in Dallas Christmas Eve. Looks like that is set up for some fun sports action, so you don't have to talk to the in-laws during the holiday meal.
That's
maybe.
The only reason why it's there.
So you got the excuse. With the new Sudoku Go Rewards app, when you fuel, you save. Drop what you're doing because rewards come first. Download the Sudoku Go Rewards app. Find your nearest Sunoco. Start saving today. Sunoco, fuel your best. And the Piazza Acura, who sponsors our NBC 10 First Alert forecast. About 8:30, 9 o'clock this morning, we will see rain move through. And then a mostly cloudy day, mid-80s. Throughout this week, as far as the week ahead, we've got a lot of high school football and football practices, sports practices. So it's a good week for that after we get through today. Why? Mid-80s and partly cloudy days all ahead until Friday, where we look like we're going to have a warm-up on Friday, upper 80s. But otherwise, mid-80s, so a cooler week compared to last week. The Acura Summer of Performance going on now. Piazza Acura in Ardmore, Westchester, Reading, featuring the powerful MDX, the next generation, Integra, and more. Visit PiazzaAcura.com for a dealer near you. This is Monday Morning Edition, CLE Show News Live.
Thank you, Dawn. 855-839-1210. Yes, let's see. We have a number of things to discuss today, but getting some good response on Twitter. Everybody's active today, which is great. Absolutely. Great stuff. So Gritsru3 pointing out the Honeymooners have aged incredibly well. Could not agree more. Leroy Holt bringing up the Batman serials from the 40s. Those are terrible. Do not waste your time watching them. They're awful. Unless you just want to mock them and laugh them. Michael Pelka, Stump Brain, saying best films of the 50s, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Ben-Hur, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, The African Queen, High Noon, Bridge on the River Kwai. Come on, Greg Stocker. Stop 50s shaming. We need a 50s mystery movie week, please. I agree. Those are classic movies. Those are great. And Senator Ed Durr, my buddy, pointing out that now eating a camel burger gives a new meaning to hump day.
Woo.
Boom. Well said. There you go. I tweeted out my point about this is not about getting Trump behind bars. It's about getting him on the ballot. Ornery Hound suggests that maybe I should end my political assertions with, and that's that, because it usually is, he says. In other words, my predictions usually are accurate. But we'll see. All right. Americans are too pampered and neurotic to fight a civil war. I saw this piece. You know that they always say that we're going to have another civil war. They keep saying that all the time. And this article says, well, basically we couldn't because we're all too lazy, neurotic, and we're all too, I guess, comfortable. You know what I mean? To be fighting each other. And the other truth, too, is that you're not going to fight your neighbors. You might ignore them. You might not invite them to the party. But whatever, quote unquote, civil war we're in is going to be a cold civil war. It's not going to be a hot civil war because it's a different situation that we had in 1860. It was literally two different geographical regions fighting each other. Now we're all too mixed together. But the war, if there is one, a civil war, is going to be fought in a different way. It's going to be fought in Congress with the Democrats doing everything they possibly can to get absolute control of this country. And here's how this plays out. John Fetterman says he will end the filibuster if he becomes U.S. Senator. Democrats get the majority. They get rid of the filibuster. Democrats then work to pack the United States Supreme Court, make D.C. the 51st state. They get two more votes in the U.S. Senate, and then they're able to run roughshod over things. And that's what happens. And I think there will be more of a movement for, I think you're going to see more people leaving blue states to go to red states to be around people who are like-minded and also to save money and live a better quality of life. But the problem is a lot of people from blue states are moving to red states. You think about the highest state, the exodus in this country are states like California, New York, two of the biggest states where people are leaving, right on the opposite coasts of each other. And where are they going? Florida. So the real danger is that Florida becomes a blue state at some point because you get so many people moving there from blue states and they bring their policies with them. They don't turn around and go, well, you know what? We're now in a place that has these wonderful Republican policies and that's why it's so great and why we moved here. No, they go in, they go, we love the weather, but we hate the DeSantis, we hate the politics. So now we're going to work to change it. And that often happens, and people keep saying that. I mean, there are people in Florida right now who are saying, stop talking about Florida because we don't want anybody to come here anymore. We're really worried they're going to come and change everything. And that's true. That could happen. I mean, that's one of the big fears that people have, Because you don't leave California to go to Florida to embrace Florida policies if you're a Democrat. You try to bring California to Florida. You try to make Florida California again, basically. And that's a real problem right there. But no, I we'll never have a hot civil war because we're too... first of all, in order for that to happen, I mean, there might be skirmishes here and there, but the idea of actually having something that was similar to 1860 is not going to happen now. And it's not just because everybody's too involved with Netflix and they're too self-absorbed with everything like this, but we're too mixed as a population. We're too mixed. Red states and blue states, there's so much, with an exception of certain pockets in the country, most of the states are too blended with Democrats and Republicans. It would be impossible to actually pull something like that off. That's just the reality. But I think the hyperbole of a civil war, the hyperbole of we're so divided, we have been for a long time. We always have been, actually, since the dawn of the country. But the playing on that, and you notice this, too, over the weekend, a lot of warnings on television of right-wing rhetoric leading to violence. Right-wing rhetoric leading to violence. What happened over the summer with the Supreme Court? Anybody remember that? Where you had all these protesters outside their homes in their neighborhoods, and the White House was saying, well, we support peaceful protesters. And all these people were outside their homes protesting. Did the White House do a damn thing about it? Nope. No, they did not. Not a damn thing. By the way, Good Morning America, to their credit, they are in Afghanistan. And the story is Taliban celebrates Victory Day on the front lines 1 year after U.S. pullout. So Good Morning America is actually in Afghanistan right now, in Kabul. And they're showing pictures of the Taliban in a parade celebrating Victory Day. 1 year after we pulled out of Afghanistan. 1 year ago today. And the Taliban is marking their celebration. And a woman was actually fired upon while protesting the Taliban in the street. So this is Joe Biden's legacy right here. Now, do you think Democrats want you to be talking about the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal? Or do you think they want to be talking about Trump and his classified documents? Good Morning America sat down with a Taliban spokesman who denies women and girls are oppressed. He says women are being given their rights. Each society interprets rights of human beings differently, he says. So the women in Afghanistan now under the Taliban are being given rights. They're just the rights that are being given according to what the Taliban believes are appropriate for women and girls. But yeah, there we go. Victory Day. And Good Morning America, to its credit, on the front lines, showing what it's like now. The youngest and the weakest struggling to survive under Taliban rule. Women feeling oppressed. No rights anymore. People feeling very, very much like they are oppressed. 1 year ago today. Amazing. What a disaster. What a disaster this president is. What a disaster this administration really is. It's amazing. Schools are very different now. And the reporter concludes by saying, quote, this is a very different country from 1 year ago. Imagine that. Wow. 855-839-1210. Listen, my buddy Dr. Mike Veneria would love to see you and give you the smile you deserve, the smile of your dreams. Dr. Mike's a great guy. And I think as more and more time goes on, you see more of these chain dental offices popping up everywhere. You know what I'm talking about. These places that are national offices and they wind up filling up strip malls and everything like this. Don't go to those places. You want to go see Dr. Mike. Two offices, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey. And my whole family goes there to see him. And patients of Dr. Mike Veneria love the guy. They keep coming back year after year. They tell their friends, they tell their family because he does a great job. His concern is your care. Not cost, it's care. You get a free consultation for dental implants. And remember, dental implants are a science. You got to make sure that they are done right. That's why you want Dr. Mike to do them, because he'll do a great job for you. And you also can get pain-free root canal treatment if you need it. Pediatric general cosmetic dentistry, Dr. Mike Veneria should be your first choice. 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Or visit VeneriaDental.com. VanariaDental. My buddy and the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Now, the revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now,
this is 60 minutes of non-stop talk
with Rich Zioli.
Yes, it is Monday morning. Thanks for being here today. We appreciate it. They are looking to get Trump on the ballot, not behind bars. That is the reality. Good morning. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. Much to discuss. Hope you had a great weekend. Kids in Philadelphia schools will start the first 10 days of school in masks. Why? Why not? Got to remind those kids that they are subjects. They are only there to do the bidding of the powers that be. They must remind them, of course, of who's in charge. 1 year ago today, the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal, the Taliban is celebrating their victory day today, as they call it. Absolutely celebrating what is a devastating failure of U.S. foreign policy. And it's just outrageous that what happened in Afghanistan. It really, really is absolutely outrageous. And this administration is doing everything it possibly can to change the subject. No question about it. Bernie Sanders will be coming to Philadelphia. The demonstration on Independence Mall is going to include presidents of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters and the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA. He'll be coming to Independence Mall this weekend, and he will be speaking in Philadelphia. I'm very, very excited about that. Perhaps we will be able to get Bernie on the show. The rally will happen at 4 p.m. in front of the Independence Visitor Center on Market Street. Sanders put out a flyer based on the logo for Rita's Italian Ice. And he said on the flyer, "We must say to the billionaire class, you can't have it all." So he put Rita's Italian Ice as the logo, but it says the working class pushing back against corporate greed. Rally in Philadelphia, Saturday, August 20th at 4 p.m. Rally at Independence Mall in Philadelphia, outside the Independence Visitor Center. Bernie Sanders and other people. And then he has kind of like a Dunkin' Donuts ripoff on the other side of the flyer. It says, the working class fighting back against corporate greed. That's a rally in Boston on Sunday, August 21st. What do you think Bernie's doing all this for, out of curiosity, huh? The old geezer's coming to Florida for what? To Pennsylvania and Boston for what reason, you think? Why do you think he's doing that? It's almost like he might be doing that because he's planning to run for president. I mean, one could guess that perhaps Bernie Sanders is thinking about running for president of the United States. I'm just saying, coming to Philadelphia to rally. That's all, just a rally, you know. To rally. Why not? FBI's Trump raid exposes Washington's secrecy shams. This piece by Jim Bovard last week is really, really important. Trump's accused of violating the Presidential Record Act. Critical to our democracy, said the archivist of the United States, David Ferriero. In reality, the Presidential Records Act is the Presidential Damn Near Perpetual Secrecy Act. Former presidents pocket multi-million dollar advances for their memoirs, while their records are mostly quarantined for decades from the citizens they often misgoverned. The Nixon Library did not release the final batch of his secret tapes until 2013, 39 years after Nixon was driven from office. The Lyndon B. Johnson Library delayed releasing the final batch of his secret tapes of presidential conversations until 2016, 47 years after he left office. President George W. Bush in 2001 issued an executive order that, quote, effectively rewrote the Presidential Records Act, converting it from a measure guaranteeing public access to one that blocks it. That was noted by Professor Jonathan Turley. Congress overturned parts of that order in 2014. An odious roadblock to history is what Jonathan Turley said back then. A fight is brewing in Washington that may produce a perfect constitutional storm. An executive order from President Bush has all three branches of government colliding over the question of who controls access to presidential papers. The outcome of this fight may redefine aspects of executive privilege as well as core principles of open government. With this order, the president is not simply on the wrong side of history, he stands squarely in its path, Turley wrote. This order could potentially deprive the history of some of the most important records. Trying to understand our history without reading presidential records is like trying to understand the Bible without reading Genesis. At the center of this is from 2002, at the center of this developing debate is a rather innocuous figure, the archivist of the United States. Bush became familiar with this position when the archivist sent him a notice that he was preparing to release the papers of President Reagan on January 20th, 2001. This was done under the 1978 Presidential Records Act, which mandates the release of unclassified records 12 years after a president leaves office. Not only do some of these documents involve Bush's father, they also involve more than a dozen current high-ranking administration officials, including Vice President Dick Cheney. Oh, you know him as the hero of the left, Dick Cheney. He's a hero of MSNBC and CNN. You might have heard his name recently. Historians are particularly interested in the material to shed further light on the Iran-Contra scandal, as well as some other controversies that led to criminal convictions. Bush responded with an executive order that effectively rewrote the Presidential Records Act, converting it from a measure guaranteeing public access to one that blocks it. The order strips the archivist of authority to give the public access to these papers and lets a former president indefinitely delay their release. The issuance of the order from the executive branch brought the judicial branch into the mix. A federal court is now reviewing the constitutionality of that order, and ultimately it would change it. But Jonathan Turley said the Bush order is not only unconstitutional, it is also in contrast with what the founding fathers ever wanted. James Madison wrote that a popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy. Before the Bush order, the citizens were sure that they would eventually be able to review actions taken in their name. Likewise, government officials knew that their conduct would ultimately be judged by history. Obama White House lawyers repeatedly invoked the Presidential Records Act to delay the release of thousands of pages of records from President Bill Clinton's White House. At the end of his presidency, Obama tucked 30 million pages of his administration's records to Chicago, promising to digitize them and eventually put them online, a move that outraged historians. More than 5 years after Obama's presidency ended, the National Archives webpage reveals that 0.0 pages have been digitized and disclosed. Now, you can request via the Freedom of Information Act to access Obama's records. By the way, that was a law that he helped destroy. But responses from presidential libraries can be delayed for years, even more than a decade, if the information is classified. Similarly, President Joe Biden double-crossed Americans on disclosing records from his 36-year Senate career. In 2011, Biden donated 1,875 boxes of documents from his Senate days to the University of Delaware, which received federal subsidies to curate his collection. Biden retired as vice president in January 2017, but the library announced just before Biden launched his presidential campaign that secrecy would continue until 2 years after Biden, quote, retires from public life. James Bovard writes, the FBI raid was also purportedly justified because Trump possessed classified documents. Classification is one of D.C.'s biggest con games. A federal commission headed by Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan lamented back in 1977, quote, secrets in the federal government are whatever anyone with a stamp decides to stamp secret. Yet any information that is classified is treated as a political holy relic that cannot be exposed without cursing the nation. You know, the federal government creates trillions of pages of new secrets every year, the vast majority of which should never have been classified. Even Biden's director of national intelligence, Avril Haines, lamented to Congress that this excessive secrecy of federal documents erodes the basic trust that our citizens have in their government. The only thing I disagree with is I don't think we have any trust in our government at this point. I really don't. Both Democrats and Republicans are to blame for the Iron Curtain that now shrouds dozens of federal agencies. Did the FBI conduct a massive, heavily armed raid in a former president's home merely because of paperwork violations? Is the FBI too busy crusading against Trump's paperwork errors to drop the hammer on the cavalcade of crimes documented in Hunter Biden's laptop from hell? Unless the feds can quickly reveal proof of far more serious Trump crimes, Monday's raid was one of the most prominent outrages in recent law enforcement history. I agree. And here's what will happen if Trump becomes president again. The FBI will be raiding the University of Delaware to get those files. The FBI will be raiding his home to see what files are there in Hunter Biden and anything else. You'll have this back and forth thing that'll go on forever and ever and ever. And of course, the question of when presidents can declassify anything, which can be done by basically the stroke of a pen, or maybe not a stroke of a pen. Maybe just by saying so. Who knows? That's the problem. That is really the issue. Presidents can make things secret. They can make them unsecret. Is that a word? I don't know. But the point is clear. They do not expect Donald Trump to wind up behind prison bars for this. This is silly. This will be litigated in court for years. This is the kind of thing that drags on in court for 10 years. It really is. It will drag on and on. Even if they indict him tomorrow, it will drag on. There'll be questions, there'll be briefs that'll be filed, there'll be court rulings, it'll go to another circuit and this circuit, and then ultimately, of course, the United States Supreme Court to weigh in the question of whether or not a president's blanket declassification is in fact legal. Because that's what Trump's defense is going to be. His defense will be, I declassified all this stuff. Everything here was declassified. I did so on my last day in office. And they'll say, well, where's the paperwork? And he'll say, I don't need paperwork. I stood there like the Pope and I gave a blessing. A declassification blessing. And they'll argue that in court. It's not exactly the kind of thing that winds you in the slammer. It winds up making lawyers rich, very rich, as they litigate this nonsense. But you know that as well as I do, obviously. So no, this is about getting Trump on the ballot, not about getting Trump behind bars. That is the reality. There. I said it because it's true. 855-839-1210. And that's that. As they say. And that's that. Listen, lose a summer vacation weight quickly. Reset your metabolism with NJ Diet. NJ Diet uses technology that consists of hair and saliva sampling to customize a personal weight loss program just for you. They contractually guarantee you're going to lose weight 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. You could even lose more. NJ Diet is hormone detoxification. It evaluates and targets each individual person's needs. Then it's going to balance your hormones. The side effect is weight loss. Then NJ Diet utilizes DNA testing to create your personal diet plan and workout regimen so you can keep the weight off. Full supervision is provided every step of the way. You get the doctor's personal email, personal phone number, and NJ Diet's all natural. There are no shots, no hormones, no prepackaged foods, and no surgery. Locations in King of Prussia, Cherry Hill, and Newark, Delaware, or from home with live online video consultations. So reach out to them today at 855-5-NJ-DIET. 855-5-NJ-DIET or njdiet.com. You can lose the weight for good with njdiet.com.
What's on the cut sheet?
Yes, on this Monday edition, Greg Stocker, of What is on the Cut Sheet, the vital question only you have answers to.
What's on the Cut Sheet today is sponsored by American Heritage Credit Union. With American Heritage Credit Union Platinum MasterCard, you decide how to be rewarded. Earn up to 3% cash back or transfer a balance from another card with no fees. Lock in a 0% APR on purchase and balance transfers for 9 months. Visit AmericanHeritageCU.org/credit cards. AmericanHeritageCU.org/credit cards. Insured by NCUA, equal opportunity lender. Rich, you know that all of a sudden there's this love affair for Liz Cheney.
They love her.
You've talked about this over the last couple of weeks, ever since the January 6th hearings started. Everybody loves Liz Cheney now. She's saving democracy. But what did MSNBC think of her in 2013? Would you like to go back and hear what Chris Hayes thought of her in 2013?
Oh, would I?
We have the tape. This is from July 17th, 2013 edition of MSNBC's All In with Chris Hayes. I mean, we really had to go back in the archives.
He went all in.
to find an old episode of All In, you know, doesn't just roll off the tongue. So here's Chris Hayes on Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney from then.
Liz Cheney is truly one of the most odious presences in American politics today. Liz Cheney does not just argue her point of view. She boils up a stew of the most repugnant, factless, fear-mongering propaganda to rile up the darkest forces of the far political fringe. Now, whatever you think about her father, you got to allow Dick Cheney this. He came about his infamy honestly. He is a real up-by-the-bootstraps kind of villain. But Liz Cheney is the knockoff version. She's a legacy case, a toxic example of what affirmative action for overprivileged white people looks like.
Wow.
Wow, look at that, huh?
Odious.
I mean, he hated her. And her dad, too. Holy cow.
Odious, toxic. Wow.
Odious, toxic.
I mean...
That's pretty good. Odious, toxic, by the way, was my Van Halen cover band in college, just saying.
You got to think that he is... not saying that these days.
Saying something different, don't you think?
How do you come back from being an odious and toxic human being? Because I know the people in my life or people that I've called odious and hideous over the years, I don't praise them now. So
you don't praise him now?
No. So I'm
interesting.
I'm wondering if he lived up to that. I'm guessing not. But
yeah. Also, too, it's very possible to that he just pretends like that never ever happened. Probably the more accurate, right?
Well, luckily the internets never forget.
The internets never forget.
We discussed, and hat tip to you, Rich Zioli, for sending this to me. I always like to give credit. I can't do this myself, so I'm glad when people assist me in this. Hat tip to Rich Zioli. So James Carville was on with Jim Acosta on Saturday. Nobody watched it, so let me just play this for everybody. You know this third political party that Andrew Yang is starting now? Well, Acosta asked James Carville what he thinks about it, and James Carville is not a fan.
We've already seen a group of former Democratic and Republican officials led by Andrew Yang, former Congressman David Jolly, former Governor of New Jersey Christine Todd Whitman form a new political party called the Forward Party. They're trying to, I guess, appeal to moderate voters in the middle. I mean, how much of this has to do with how Joe Biden is doing these days? And I guess I'm also curious, James, what you think. You know, you helped Bill Clinton beat a guy named Ross Perot. I guess it was 30 years ago. Could this Forward Party have the same kind of impact this time around?
I think in a nation awash in really stupid ideas, this stands out as a really stupid idea. Ralph Nader basically elected George W. Bush in 2000. Jill Stein basically elected Donald Trump in 2016. And the only possible thing this could do is bleed some moderate Republicans off of voting for whoever the Democratic nominee is. This thing is going nowhere. It's vanity. Look at me. It's performance art. And I'm, to say the least, I'm not a fan of this effort. You know, it's something editorial writers and pontificators like, but that's about it.
Wow.
Wow, good for him. Well, he's right. He's not wrong. I mean, third parties have no chance, and they never have had a chance. And, you know, that's the reality right there.
Well, don't you think that he is saying this as well? Because this is, if this succeeds, it's going to siphon votes away from Democrats, right?
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's how that works. And Christy Todd Whitless, the former governor of New Jersey, also came out basically, and she's part of this third party effort, you know, wrote an op-ed. What's that?
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's fine. I mean, she came out and basically said, you know, other third parties have failed. Here's why ours won't. And of course it's going to fail because it's a disaster. And no, all it does is siphon votes away from the other party. That's just the reality.
In 92, do you think that Ross Perot siphoned votes away from George H.W. Bush?
There's no question about it. He did. Yeah. Absolutely. No doubt. No doubt. And I agree that he cost Bush that election. And absolutely. If it had been just Bush versus Clinton, Bush would have won, in my opinion.
It's interesting because James Carville was on the other side of that. So he actually, so like a Ross Perot, a third party, actually helped Bill Clinton, who he was advising at the time.
Well, that's the only way a third party works. They always say, the old saying is, third parties are either done by dumb people or smart people. Dumb people think they can win, and smart people understand they can make the other person lose.
Interesting. John Carl on was the guest host for ABC this week for George Stephanopoulos. And it's funny to me because he's basically, what he's arguing in this clip, Rich, is that he's frustrated because the Trump vortex, as he calls it, is suppressing Joe Biden's success. But you could also argue that, as he calls it, the Trump vortex is being lifted up by his brethren in the media. Am I wrong on that? So isn't he perpetuating this, or isn't the media perpetuating what's going on?
Certainly sounds like it.
Here's what John Carl said on Sunday.
Although, Donna, that almost like we fell into a vortex here this past week, and we emerged in 2017 again, and all the stories are about Donald Trump. I mean, this has got to be frustrating to the Biden White House. You can't get through. I mean, he has had a string of significant victories.
I would say that over the last 30 days, the president has once again hit his stride, and that, you know, this ability to focus on the long term, to invest in the American people, to really help ordinary Americans. I think that is breaking through. It's going to break through. It's going to be slow. It's going to be like molasses, not syrup,
but
it's going to spread.
This is exactly where the Biden folks want to be right now, right, making this election about Donald Trump.
So it's interesting to me that they're frustrated by this, that all this media attention is on Trump, when they're the ones who kind of control the narrative, don't they?
Yeah, they pretty much could talk about something else if they wanted to, theoretically.
Yeah.
Theoretically, of course.
Also, he had on Larry Hogan, and he said this on Joe Biden: it's hard to call him a failed president when you look at all his legislative achievements.
But it's hard to call him a failed president when you look at his legislative achievements. I mean, you may disagree with the bills, but he's
gotten some things done, and he can point to that. We got a couple of things done, but whether they're actually good bills or not.
We're really setting up Larry Hogan, isn't he?
Inflation Reduction Act actually reduces or increases, yeah, is what we're going to have to find out.
So it's a tough question there from John Carl. So.
I mean, that is tough. I hope he survived it, okay? I hope he's all right. We're all very, very worried about it.
Nancy Pelosi was discussing there's a lot of money in this bill that goes to climate. So she's very happy about it because she said this about Mother Earth.
How can they vote against the planet? Mother Earth. Mother Earth gets angry from time to time, and this legislation will help us address all of that.
Mother Earth is angry. Don't you get Mother Earth flowers and chocolate when she's angry? I'm just saying. Throwing it out there. Doesn't she deserve that? Come on. Come on, man.
Joe Biden on vacation. He was biking on the beach in South Carolina. A reporter asked him a question, and he said he didn't have time to talk because he had to do this.
President, will you come talk to us?
No.
So in case you couldn't hear that, he said, do you have time to talk to us? He said, no. They all laughed. And he said, I got to go get some bathing suits.
Got to get some bathing suits to show his hairy legs to the kids.
Oh my God.
Is that what it is?
By the way, do you remember when Do you remember when not talking to the press didn't elicit chuckles from
them?
You
remember that?
It was DEFCON 5 if a president didn't speak to the
It was the end of humanity. Democracy dies in darkness after all. Remember that?
But
democracy dies in darkness, and we all had a worry for the Fourth Amendment, I believe.
I think that's correct. But it's okay because he has to go get some bathing suits. So
I gotta get some bathing suits. Doesn't he have people to get him bathing suits, just out of curiosity? Is the president of the United States? I mean,
you go on vacation, you don't
just,
bring
just
a bathing
throwing
suit
it out there. Yeah, right.
I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening in that. It's just an odd thing to say. Speaking of odd things to say, Kamala Harris was discussing space. Okay, so like I'm gonna do like the old password show. The password is space. Okay, now try and figure out what in this 50-second clip she's talking about when she's talking about space. Okay.
Okay. We know that we really are quite behind in terms of maximizing our collective understanding about how we will engage on the technology of today, and what we can quickly and easily predict will be the technology over the next decades. So to maintain our position as the United States of America on this issue, it is critical that we work together to understand where we are, to recognize and have the courage to speak truth about what is obsolete, and then to partner to ensure that we are speaking the same language with the same motivation, inspired by the opportunity of it all, but then doing the work of updating how we have been talking and thinking about our exploration in space.
There we go. Oh my God.
Is she watching a lot of For All Mankind out of curiosity? It certainly seems like it.
Wow. It's we say this all the time. It's the kid who gets up in front of the school and has no idea what he
did,
or
not
she
read
is
the book, has no idea what she's saying, right?
Yep. So took 50 seconds to say basically nothing there. So CBS This Morning.
Space.
Yes, the password is space. CBS This Morning, you mentioned this earlier, Rich, was blaming climate change on kids being fat and less active. Yes, it's more obese and less active than previous generations because of higher temperatures due to climate change. This is how they reported it on CBS This Morning.
Welcome back to CBS Mornings. It's time to bring you some of the stories that we call Talk of the Table, because it's a table and we're talking. And Nate is in pole position, Mr. Burleson.
I'll start this thing off.
Right.
Okay, so my Talk of the Table is a new study showing how climate change, specifically higher temperatures, is making our children more inactive and more obese. The study published in a journal Temperature found today's children are 30% less aerobically fit than their parents were at their age. Fewer children are reaching the World Health Organization's recommendation of 60 minutes of exercise a day. Now, listen, it has been a lot hotter, and the weather has been crazy, but I think it also has to do with technology, you know?
Yeah.
It's one thing not to go outside, but these kids don't go outside because they can stay inside, be on their phones, play video games, and be social without having to go outside and be social.
Did you always go outside as a kid?
I always went outside.
Getting on your bike,
always,
playing
all day long.
I love that.
It's different now. You don't see as many kids outside running around.
Yeah. And so that they're saying it's because of climate change.
Yeah.
So they're saying it's because of the heat that kids aren't going outside.
So climate change. What about devices? Maybe just kids are enjoying themselves, that they are playing the Switch or whatever that is that they're doing, these kids today. Is it because they're hot or because they're freaking lazy? What is it really? Is it climate change or are they freaking lazy?
I don't know.
I'm throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I think it's because they're freaking lazy today. And I think a lot of parents today are a little bit, they are of the mindset of, as long as the kids are out of my hair, I don't care, because a lot of the parents are still working from home. So if the kids are on the couch playing Nintendo, then the parents are fine with it. They don't have to worry about watching the kids. They don't have to worry about where they go. You know what I mean? I think it's probably a lot of that to it, too. I think the pandemic has changed things more than the heat has.
Well, let me ask you this, Rich. Do you, I know this is all anecdotal evidence, but do you see, I mean, you remember playing outside as a kid. You and I are of the same generation. Playing outside as a kid was like some of the greatest memories of my childhood, going out, riding bikes and playing Gang Catch Gang and all that stuff, do you see kids in your neighborhood doing that these days? Are they outside? Do you see kids?
Of course, they're everywhere. Okay. They're everywhere, kids today. This whole report is bogus.
Yeah, but sports were canceled, and the pandemic certainly, it shut down schools, shut down all the sports. I think it's caused COVID.
I do too. I think a lot of it is because COVID, because I think a lot of the kids today, they spent a year getting fatter, sitting there on the couch. They couldn't go to the gym. They couldn't play sports with their friends. There were no organized athletics for a year and a half. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
In many places, not everywhere, of course. So, and then, of course, when you're stressed, you eat. I eat when I'm stressed. And when you don't get enough sleep, you overeat. Kids were not sleeping well. They were stressed and depressed during the pandemic. They weren't seeing their friends. They weren't working out. School canceled gym class. Playgrounds were shut down. Beaches were shut down. Amusement parks were shut down. Of course, these kids all got fat.
Yeah, and I think it's a domino effect we're feeling now. Because technically, it was the 2019-2020 school year in March. All those spring sports, especially on the East Coast, wiped out. So then if a kid didn't, like, join whatever sport that year of 1920, then at some point when they come back to school...
You mean 2020, right?
It was 2020, but we forget...
You said 1920, and I thought
the 2019... in other words, the 2019-2020 school year, 1920. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that... We're saying it's the third year. Technically, this is the fourth year now into... the post-pandemic.
That's insane.
The school year. Think about it.
Were your kids, their sports were canceled,
so
right?
That's how I know this so well. So yeah. We found Pop Warner. Remember we talked about PIAA? Remember that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
So we were all scrambling to find something, but most kids, especially in our region, had nothing. And sports were shut down. So let's say you're a fifth or sixth grader and you don't, whatever, join football, basketball. Maybe now after three school years, you think, oh, I suck at that or I'm not good at that. And you never joined up in those sports. You see what I'm saying? So I think it's the domino impact of it that we're now feeling and nobody's talk except you. Nobody's really talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I do. I think that's a big part of it. Way more than climate change.
Yes.
Well, maybe the axis of the earth changed in a way that kids are moving more towards the fridge. I think it was Tim Allen who used to have a joke about that. He used to say, guys will never admit they're on a diet. They'll always be like, well, you know, I heard that the axis of the earth is off, so I'm trying to lose a little weight to help out with the axis of the earth. You know what I mean? Like that, so.
I just think we can't get these years back. As parents, we can't get them back. And the kids' lives being so interrupted, we can never get this back. I know we have to look forward, but it makes my blood boil.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
100%.
Oh, what am I doing here? Am I doing Grand Hotel? Grand Hotel. We'll be there a week from Friday. I read this other article on Philly Mag over the weekend, how since COVID, our perception of time has changed. And it was a fascinating article, Dawn, because they were saying essentially now that our whole sense of time is distorted. It's almost like 2020 was a blur when you think about it. And yet certain things feel like they're dragging on forever.
It's so true.
Like I was thinking about 2020. I don't remember, for example, with my other kids, I remember exactly when they first started to walk. I remember exactly like those little things. Like, but with Reagan, I turn the bridge there. I go, do you remember when she just started walking? We don't. And I know it's a third kid and all, but time just seems different in some ways.
It's
like
it's so
a combination of flying by and dragging on as we're in year. What are we in? You said year four of the pandemic now, theoretically?
Yeah, technically, this will be the fourth school year as we begin. The fourth school year impacted.
Crazy. Well, anyway, get there and enjoy the freedom of Cape May and the open air and the beautiful oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, because we're going to be there Friday, August 26th for our live show. And I'm excited to see you there. We always have a great time with these live shows. And there's bagels and croissants and the bar opens at 8:00 and Bloody Marys and mimosas. And we have a lot of fun together. So please come out Friday morning, August 26th. Make your reservation to stay the night before. And then you can hang out with us, too, which is great. But do it because the Grand Hotel always sells out. And now that summer's coming to an end and fall is right around the corner, it's the best time to be in Cape May. It really is. October is beautiful. The crowds go away. The weather is beautiful. And also, too, what I love about it is you can get restaurant reservations, and the Grand Hotel has a special fall package for you. You stay 2, 3, or 5 nights, you're going to get resort credits up to $200 that you can use at Hemingway's restaurant for fresh steaks and chops and seafood. Delicious homemade food. Great stuff. You can also use it in Christine's Boutique, the gift shop. The Grand has an indoor heated pool and a hot tub, arcade for the kids, fitness center, so much to do. So make your reservation today at GrandHotelCapeMay.com. You get 10% off rack rates plus the resort credit between early October and late December. So you want to get in there today at GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Plus, if you're thinking about having a wedding, number one beachfront wedding destination in all of New Jersey, the entire Jersey Shore, it is the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, according to Brides.com. It's amazing. And number 10 in the entire country for beachfront weddings. But they can also do baby showers, bridal showers, corporate events, family reunions, bring the gang back together. You will love it. Just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Talk to my girls, Kellyanne and Caitlin, today, and they will absolutely help you plan an amazing event you'll never forget. And don't forget those beachfront weddings. But rooms go fast, and these fall packages will fly by, so reach out to them today. And we'll see you Friday, August 26th at the Grand Hotel of Cape May.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.